Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your
country. We are the last Americans. We are the last Americans. We are the last Americans.
Yo, yo, yo! What's going on, dudes?
We're not. Happy midweek hump day.
Yeah, man. Happy hump day.
It's been or just hump day, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Beers to all you people watching and listening.
Oh, here we go. Yeah, I actually got one right now, right?
Ooh.
You're going to crack it?
There it is. Not bad.
Not bad.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Not bad.
Well, I mean, Zoom can't hear anything.
Ear piercing. Fucking handle the cracking noises.
Yep. Time to unsub.
Glad to be back, man. It was a fun week for me. And sorry, I missed a bunch of shows Friday, Monday. Had family here. Bunch of family. We did our kind of our Thanksgiving-ish Christmas, if you will, with them. And we don't get people here all the time. So I definitely wanted to take advantage of them being here. And so thank you for being patient with that. It was nice. It was needed. Now, Greg, there's some stuff going on with you and your family. So Monday just didn't work out.
Dude, yeah.
I didn't know if you wanted to talk about
it. Crazy week.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody, I don't know if, the audience knows Big Ron. I mean, he's done a couple episodes of ours a long time ago.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, he had a freaking stroke, bro.
Yeah.
So Sunday night was like, there was a couple hours there where we had no idea what was going to happen. We were like, okay, so he's in the hospital.
Yeah.
He was like slurring his speech. We don't know what's his current status, what's going to happen, what's the outcome going to be.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's totally fine. They looked at all these different types of scans. There was no damage done.
Oh,
so they got him there pretty quick, and he's just he was on blood thinners for 6 months, and then they took him off of those. Mm. So I think his body was just kind of used to the blood thinners and then thickened up in some spots. And then his family lineage.
Yeah.
The blood in that family just is not good.
Oh, okay. Bad blood.
They got some bad blood.
Yeah, man.
Well, they all die of heart disease. You know what I mean? There's heart attacks galore in his family line. So it's he already knows that he has blood issues.
Yeah.
So he's got to watch that shit.
He's a big guy too, man. He's always been a big guy. And plus, when he was working out, it's just a lot of, your heart's really pumping to get through that shit. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of limb, a lot of meat on those limbs, but.
A lot of
meat. I love Big Ron, man. I know Chris loves Big Ron. And so obviously when you said that, I'd reached out to you guys and was like, hey man, we're doing family stuff. Our family invited Chris and everybody out. They wanted to take the kids out and just go have fun. And so when then you said that at the same time, which I always worry about that kind of stuff, man. And you never know.
Yeah.
Like when that happens, it's like how much damage was done because you don't know for a while. And
yeah, exactly. Right? I've seen people have strokes and
you told me that.
They can fuck you up.
Yeah.
Dude, yeah. My grandma had a stroke and she was bedridden for the rest of her life. She forgot how to talk and all that shit.
Yeah.
So it was bad.
Did he have a stroke before or was it a heart? Did he have a heart attack?
No. So he had a triple bypass surgery.
Yeah.
So he had open heart surgery and then, or open chest, whatever the fuck they call it. And then, has the freaking aneurysm thing that's going on.
Yeah.
He has a brain tumor. He has the freaking pseudo gout all over his body. So his joints, and he's in line to get a knee replacement. And then, so he's thinking this might put that at risk because it's he went through all the, they can't put him under, But they're saying, like, if he goes a month without experiencing any issues, then he can go into surgery.
Well, I mean, listen, obviously me and Chris wish him the best. We love that guy and we want to make sure he's healthy and stuff. So we hope that, you know, he can overcome it. Cause if he needs knees, you want to make sure you get that stuff, man. You know, it just makes the end of your life better.
He showed me an x-ray of his knee and there's literally like a 2-inch gap where his like bone should be.
Oh yeah. Like all the fluid and cartilage is gone inside there.
Just shaving.
Or like, no, it's not cartilage, whatever it is that like, adds the support in between the joints. I forget what it is. There's like liquid and stuff in there. I don't
remember. Yeah, he said every time he takes a step, he can feel like if he fucks up, he could feel like the bone on bone. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's pretty gruesome.
Yeah. I get that a little bit with my foot, but not to that point.
Because you broke it. Yeah. Yeah, man, it sucks. That sucks, dude.
But prayers for the best. Big Ron.
Lots of prayers, dude. Yeah, obviously, when you told us that was the first thing on my mind, because you know he's a good dude, man. I hate that people. I hate good people having to go through bullshit. But age, dude. You know what can I say? Fucking age is a bitch. You know what I mean?
It is a bitch, so, brother.
But yeah, man. So a good week though. Like I said, it was fun, dude. The family. It was always fun to see the family, dude. And obviously, when they leave, you know the kids are upset. Wife's, you know, she's upset and stuff. And
yeah.
But it was fun. Just we didn't do anything like crazy, but we just sat and bullshit. I was literally up until like 4 a.m. with her brother. We were talking about religion and fucking hydrogen, which is crazy.
How those two go together.
Well, so we talked about hydrogen. You know, you know. Full disclosure, I have investments in hydrogen, in a certain company, and so do they, and all like her dad and. He was actually investing in other hydrogen companies because he feels like it's the way, you know what I mean? Like it's the future. And this dude is doing some really incredible shit with hydrogen. It's pretty cool, man. But there's a guy named Don. It's a long story. My wife's family were introduced to him and he does like hydrogen stuff. I don't know the full details. I haven't really dived into it, but basically he's creating a self-sufficient hydrogen station. So he's the only person in the world that has it, apparently. That's what they say. They actually just had a huge convention in Houston, which we were wanting to go to. But
so he's bound to go missing anytime now.
Yeah, it's possible. But he's
discovered this alternative form of energy, and all of a sudden he goes missing. I don't know what happened.
They put it in vehicles. They have it in vehicles, and that was what the convention was. They have a couple like F-150s or F-350s that have. They're demonstrating. They put it into this hot rod, which was really cool. But he has a station that basically he claims that he can put this into, you know, a gas station per se, and it will actually create the hydrogen on site.
Oh.
And so there is no going to fill it up. It actually generates its own hydrogen. So basically you have a fucking supply, if you know what I'm saying. And so there's all these little perks. Long story short, we've been invested with that for a while. And it was very cheap. Like we did the whole initial run thing. There's a sister company, yada, yada.
Yeah.
He's really into the ideas of other hydrogen companies. So we were talking about hydrogen and whatnot. And then it got into like, as drinking was going on longer, you know, we were getting a little more sloppy. And he actually claims that he read this book. And it's actually the book that Jason, my father-in-law, was on the show talking about, where the gal had the two angels come visit her.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was kind of that different kind of thing. And apparently in that book, it's called The Blue Book, the angels said that hydrogen was the future. And so that's how it became religion, is because
is that like verbatim though? Is that what that they
was,
said?
It was in that, yes, it was, but he's like, and that's where I was questioning him, because first of all, I'm not prescribed to this book, okay, per se. But he was like, you know, I actually like read the book, and I believe this person really did see these things and really did have this encounter. And in the book, and he's like, dude, it's only like a paragraph. But they were saying like in the future, like hydrogen will be the new gas, or the oil. Like hydrogen will take over, and electric will fall off, and hydrogen will become the power source of the world. And so he, as a person who believes in this, the person, the author in the book, was like, I just felt like if they're saying it, and like all this other stuff from the book supposedly came true, like I'm gonna put my money into hydrogen. And I was just telling him, maybe like don't put all your eggs in one basket. You know what I'm saying? Like there's lots of other things. Maybe don't dump everything into hydrogen, because who knows? You know, because we know what oil, big oil, does. We know that there's also out for big oil. So
well, and I know that like hydrogen, I mean, from my chemistry classes, it's pretty inert, right? It can't explode. Is this
I really don't know that much about it, but from my understanding, it's pretty safe. And Jason, which my father-in-law, he's been keeping up with it. Like, I don't have nearly as much money involved as other people do in this, but it is definitely, there's some really positive things with hydrogen. I'll just say that. Like, they seem to be highly efficient, a lot less, like, you know, a lot better for the atmosphere, a lot better for the earth. And if they really can produce it that easily, like, yeah, I think there's some positive things for it, dude.
So there's this website right here that says that a bunch of scientists or whatever tried to do experiments, and they tried to induce hydrogen to explode with limited success. In 61 attempts, only 2 explosions occurred.
Not much. So that's what I've learned is that hydrogen is used as like an overlay when you're going to cap something off and preserve it for a long time. Mm-hmm. You'll use either nitrogen or hydrogen because those two gases, like when you have like a whole atom, like 2 hydrogen atoms together, right?
Yeah.
It's the most, it's pretty inert, but
yeah,
it's like H2O, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's close. Yeah. I mean,
right. So it's like, you have 2 hydrogen atoms on the oxygen and it makes this water molecule that's pretty, it's stable, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Again, I'm not a scientist by any means. Like, so when I hear updates, is like I said, there was an early like sign up for this, which initially I'm not good with stocks, man. Okay, I'm just being honest. Like, I'm not in the stock market. I don't know a lot about it. When this kind of came around, Jill has a cousin who went really heavy in this, man. Like, he was like, bro, this guy is coming up some great shit. This is, like, crazy cool. I was just like, man, I'm not dumping a bunch of money in something. I don't even know, like, when the end game is, right? Like, it was... Mm-hmm. So, it was, like, the whole, you know, like, you could get early shares. Before, he has a sister company that they're getting ready to, if they might have already. And so it was like 10 cents a share, like early, like this was like a year and a half ago. It was like 10 cents a share. So I went, I was like, you know, I'll dump whatever I dumped into it. And everybody did the same. And then recently they said, hey, you know, we're getting ready to partner up. It'll go public, you know, within the next year. If you guys want to buy out now, we'll buy your shares for $1. Right. So I was like, oh, I can actually make money right now. But then I'm thinking like, you know,
well, what is it going to be in?
Yeah, hold on to it. Like, why do they want to sell it? You know,
well, they just give you the option, right? All the early people have the option to like buy out before like the big thing because you never know how it's going to shake out.
Can you imagine if like, so he's making this basically a hydrogen generator?
There's more to it than that, but yeah.
Well, it generates hydrogen, it makes it.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if you were to develop a hydrogen car, but then also put his little device.
It's not little. Like,
I know, but yeah. I mean, over time, they could downsize it and they could do things probably.
But possibly. I think it's bigger than that.
Or you could like even make one, downscale it to run just a single like hydrogen motor. And so you could have it be creating it. And then also this motor's running off what it creates. And then you just have a never ending supply.
It could. That would be awesome.
Right.
But I think more or less it's like, from what I understand, it's more like they could make a gas station, a hydrogen gas station. And in that gas station, like underground or even behind it would be like the generator for it. And it would create it on site. Like, I don't know that they can get it.
I get you.
That compact.
Yeah. That's I imagine over time you would probably be able to.
I don't know how that works.
Especially if you're creating something that's going to be fueling a station, that's creating a lot of shit. Like, that's a large amount.
I think that's how the water-powered engine works, is what is it called? It takes those hydrogens off of the water molecule. And so you have those hydrogen molecules come off of the oxygen, and then they join together and form just one single unit of hydrogen. But, I mean... You've looked at so many people that have tried to do this before and end up well.
Listen, it's been out for decades. And so the initial thing was, listen, this thing's been around for a long time. The idea behind it has been around for a long time, but it hasn't been able to happen. But I will say that
of the government.
Well, there's that. But like there were some things that made it to where like the major companies didn't want to do it yet. Like it just wasn't there. I mean, I would argue that electric's not even there yet, but like they're forcing it out to you. But electric is like, it's so limited to what it could be. But we're seeing this like limited version, and I do think that
I think it's limited in a lot of ways, but mostly because it's relies on a electrical grid that already can't sustain itself in most places.
Well, it also the batteries, and that was one of the big things with Bubba, my brother-in-law, was just like that was his concern. He's like, there's no way to come up with all these electric vehicles. We've heard the same talking point with all the cobalt and everything that's involved. Like, yeah. It is impossible. Yeah. To get everybody an electric vehicle, it would just destroy the earth. And on top of it, our waste would be insane, right?
Yeah.
So that was one of the benefits of hydrogen, is that it's much, much cleaner, very efficient. Like, they've done testings with it, and it is very efficient.
Can you imagine, like, if everyone drove those? Because those electric vehicles are fucking heavy.
Very heavy.
Can you imagine, like, how much we'd have to spend on just maintenance on fucking roadways and shit because of how many 20,000-pound cars are fucking driving around?
Yeah.
I looked this up, energy.gov. Biden-Harris administration announces $7 billion for America's first clean hydrogen hubs, driving clean manufacturing and delivering new economic opportunities. So they put $7 billion into
this. And that was one of the parts of the conversation, is that the government did just put that much money into it. Mm. Also in, I want to say Kalama, but I could be wrong. It could be... Oh, Chehalis, Centralia, one of them, they're actually building a massive hydrogen plant. And it's one of
you
the
could use it
first
to
in Washington.
Produce electricity, I assume, too.
Probably, yeah.
In
probably.
Certain instances.
So the bottom line was, is there is a lot of money coming in from the government for this very thing. And this gentleman, he actually has the patents for these things that no one else has. That's where it's like, hey, it was so inexpensive in the beginning to get with. It has gone up in value, and if it worked out right, it would probably be something that, why not just stick this out? Because if I lose, I'm losing not very much, folks.
Yeah.
You know, like, I didn't put $20,000 into this shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's...
Well, I don't understand why it wouldn't be just, like, another kind of vehicle. You know, like, we have all these different manufacturers, and yes, they all run off combustion engines, mm-hmm. but you have the... electric car sector. You have isn't there
a hydrogen would sector? Run from my understanding, like, it would run literally. I could run my, you know, you can run.
I know, but there's no reason why you couldn't, that there couldn't be that kind of car too.
It could be, but I think it's more of like a fuel source. Like you could do minor things to get your vehicle to run on it right now. Vehicle you have, it wouldn't have to be like, oh, I'm buying a hydrogen vehicle per se. Like, it doesn't necessarily
there could
have to
be those
that
too.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean,
yeah, they're called hydrogen hubs. There's mm-hmm. several of them. There's one in California, the Gulf Coast. There's the Heartland Hydrogen Hub, which is Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota.
Yeah.
And then, like Dave was saying, Washington, Oregon, Montana. But there's like Illinois, Indiana, Michigan. They have like mm-hmm. these hydrogen hubs all over the place.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It is growing. It is growing. So.
But doesn't that worry you that like the Biden admin is all about this? I mean, you got Inslee talking this stuff up.
Let me tell you, Newsom. If you could have heard the conversation, after we were done, very drunk, I was like, bro, we should have filmed that whole thing, because it was actually a very long, depthy conversation. And I did talk about that. Now, yes, I do have concerns with that. However, you know, I think if you would have bought Tesla for 10 cents a share, you would do it 100 times over, because you're making a lot more money right now, like, for sure. So I'm not saying it's like there's not some backdoor thing. I think oil personally is, I don't believe that oil is running out personally. And I think that long term, oil is just too important for it to go away. But I think I'm going to take advantage of this, and I think they'll try to squash it. But there was a bigger thing. I had an end game thing where I think that they're trying to, I don't think they have full control over oil ultimately. Like, I feel like there's a bunch of gangs, because he was talking about the, you know, all the rich families, the elitist families that run everything.
For sure.
And I was like, I feel like oil is kind of its own family, and they don't have full control over that oil. So they're going to do everything they can to weaken oil so that they can swoop in and grab up Saudi Arabia, grab up the oil, and have full control again and sell it for a top dollar. You know what I mean? Like, that's
well, I mean, the oil, I think, used to be the Rockefeller family. And then I feel like that kind of fell through. Mm-hmm. And now it's all just the Saudi, you know what I mean? Like
I don't know the details.
Emirates.
Yeah, but I don't think that the people up that we talk about, the elites that are really running the show, I don't know how much they actually control. And we've seen it with the marijuana industry. Like, they do that, right? They'll like purposely destroy the kind of the image of a certain thing in order to like make sure that wood goes through instead of hemp. You know what I'm saying? Like the logging industry, the hemp. And so there's a piece of me that thinks that oil could be in that same boat right now. Like they can't really control it.
A lot of people argue that nuclear was that way.
We talked about
people
nuclear
are saying, yeah, people say that Chernobyl never really happened. Like that whole thing was made up to kind of fear porn everybody out of nuclear.
Yeah. I definitely think that all that's up. All that's in the air. It's very possible.
I think it happened. Whether it happened on purpose or not, that could be.
Oh, Chernobyl?
Well, no, like the, they're talking about like the aftermath. Like it's definitely not as radiation impacted as they say it is.
I mean, you could go there, which you do.
I don't, you know, but it's like, that's the thing is like, would you go there without a hazmat suit on? I don't know. I wouldn't test that shit.
I've seen videos of people going there without, like going down inside the places and stuff too.
Yeah. They have meters that actually show like when it's starting to get toxic and you can leave that area.
Well, and you know how like they kind of show you things through movies and TV shows and all that stuff? Like they kind of explain how these things are unveiled. Have you guys watched the new, what is it called? It's something about monsters, but it's like has Kurt Russell in it. God damn, dude. It's actually a really good show. Monster show, Kurt Russell. What is this called? And Monarch Legacy of Monsters. The first episode.
I have heard of that. It looks really fucking good.
Dude, fucking watch it, bro.
Is
watch
it good?
Yes.
What's it on?
Yes.
I don't remember what it's on.
Okay. I'll look it up. Greg, you have to send a text with that because I will not remember that name. I'll tell you that.
Okay.
Right. No, it looks really
cool. Yeah, so what's cool about it is that you have Kurt Russell's son who plays Kurt Russell in the past. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they do this scene where like they transfer or like they zoom forward. So they're like, yes, they go from like the younger son to the old Kurt Russell and looks like the same fucking person. But in the first episode, because it's all about finding monsters and you got like Godzilla, you got like these freaking ice monsters, you got like these freaking dragon bat things. It's weird, dude.
Okay.
But
I'm on board though.
In the, right. So in the first one, you have this team of scientist people that are like, you know, they're dressing up in like the hazmat stuff. They're wearing these masks. This is like back in like the 1940s and stuff. They're going over to like this Russia area. I don't know, but they're kind of walking through the woods and they encounter this kid who points a gun at him and he is not wearing anything. And he's like speaking in Russian or something. And the one lady there pulls off her mask because she realizes he's not wearing something. So she's going to pull off her mask and everybody's like, whoa, what are you doing? And then she was like talking about blah, blah. And then the kid goes, oh, that was a fairy tale that the government made up to scare people away from this place. Because there's magic happening there. There's like these monsters that the government doesn't want you to know about. So they don't want people traveling there.
It makes sense.
Sounds like Antarctica.
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah, it does. Oh, yeah. I think they do that. I absolutely think they. Listen, and also if you want to like not. If you want to get off of the train of like the government did this on purpose, like let's look at it from another aspect too. You could also say the scientists got it wrong. Like they assumed that like with this toxic spill and all this shit that was going on, that it was going to be a lifetime of, you know, constant like where it was going to, you know, go into the air and you die if you walk through it. And like maybe they were just fucking wrong, dude. Like maybe, maybe the ozone and everything about the earth, like it fixes itself faster than we realize it does. You know what I'm saying? Like it kind of healed itself in some ways.
But don't you find it odd that like right as we're getting into this climate agenda, the green agenda, right? You had this series on Netflix coming out about Chernobyl again, just warning you again, hey, nuclear is not the appropriate answer here for the climate agenda. Just letting you know this is what happened, you know, like it reintroducing that idea to make sure that people don't.
I mean, nuclear is so good. I in my opinion, what I've read on it, which is not a lot, but I just feel like nuclear is like there's nothing wrong.
Yeah,
with
dude.
And
it's like, remember, we talked we had a whole show on that we watched a guy. He did like a TED Talks on it and he was explaining like the amount of waste and the amount of like carbon that is produced like to make the fans impact and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like nuclear is like way low on that stuff. So
Dude, it's interesting, man. I don't know. I wish I felt better about like putting stuff into stocks, but man, the economy is just not where it's at. Like I just get nervous about that shit.
Especially right now.
Like I would love to like feel really comfortable. Like cause I always look back and like, man, everybody talks about it, but like Netflix, bro. Or like name it, right? Like, can you imagine if you're like, you know, I feel like this is going to be something.
Oh yeah.
Dude, you remember big one, dude.
Billionaires. I remember there was a point where you could buy into, remember when Redbox got real big?
Yeah.
I remember like one showed up in our town like and you had an opportunity to like buy into Redbox for like $1,500.
Yeah.
And it was like, and then the year after Redbox, it just went fucking blew up.
Oh. Like Netflix was the original Redbox, kind of like, except it was online. But no one ever saw that they were going to get their own channel.
That's true.
And stream. Exactly. And that's where like they took it to another level and you're like, whoa, you know, and it just blew the fuck up.
Yeah. It turned into like a whole different genre of, you know, business. But like the thing about the hydrogen thing that I wanted to ask you about is, if the continuation of big oil is going to scare you away from that, because Trump just said that he would be a dictator on his first day only. He's like, I'll be a dictator, but for my first day only. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to close the border and I'm going to drill baby drill. We're going to get oil. Blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So you know what, when it comes to, I think that's fine. I don't see anything wrong with that. Oil right now is the thing. Like there's no denying it, dude. I drive gas cars. I have no desire to get an electric personally. And on top of it, everything we, you know, have around us is oil based. You know what I'm saying? A lot of the clothes we wear, the shoes, I mean, oil's in everything, bro. It's not going away. But
least anytime soon.
What started the conversation ultimately was my father-in-law does roofing. Okay. And he was talking about this product. It's been around a long time, but it's not like the most used product, a shingle. Mm-hmm. And it's made out of rubber, like used tires. It's very like green. They reuse tires. And it's very like you can bend it and it pops back in shape. It's resistant to like hail. It's a really good. He's like, dude, it is such a good product, right? And not a lot of people use it.
Yeah.
So his argument was like, hey, it's easy to sell, because he goes, you know what? A lot of people don't give a shit about this whole green shit. Like most people don't. They just don't care. Like that. But if you can say like, hey, it's the same price as the other product. If I can tell somebody, you know what, this is going to cost you exactly the same, and it is probably going to last you, you know, up to 2 times longer, okay, like hypothetically, and you're also kind of, you know, reusing goods, it's better for the environment, like everybody is willing to do that. Everybody's willing to be more green if it doesn't cost them anything.
Yeah.
Like if you just know, if you have two products at the same price and this one says like, hey man, we actually recycle this shit, or we get these cans from recycle, like you're more opt to do the one that you think is better for the environment. You just don't want to be forced to do it. Instead,
this one's greener, but it's $5,000 more.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because that's the problem, is everything's more expensive. And also, it's like...
It's being shoved down your throat, bro.
Yeah, and we don't know about that shit. When you say, like, hey, they take tires out of the landfills. They go to landfills, and they actually take the old tires out and reuse those tires. Like, that's easy to, like, in your brain to understand that.
No.
So I'm like, that makes sense. And that goes with hydrogen. Oils will always be there. But if you can sell hydrogen eventually, that, you know, we can produce this very cheaply. Actually, we can produce it in your backyard, basically.
Yeah.
This will run your car. It'll run your car longer. It'll be better for your engines, and it will keep the environment. And guess what? It's not going to cost you any more than gas would. Easy sell, bro. Because why does electric?
Well, not only
work?
That, but couldn't it run the house as well?
Eventually. I mean,
he's making, from what I understand, he's making a machine that creates the hydrogen fuel, or made a machine that creates the hydrogen fuel. At that point, you're creating hydrogen fuel. Now you just make a generator that runs off hydrogen, and you're fucking your money.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the most elaborate part would be breaking the hydrogen atom apart would take some significant force. And it sounds like that's what he's created is something that will explode that hydrogen apart.
Yeah.
And then it will just use the frickin' energy that creates.
Dude, you know what? Like, here's the deal. I'm not very science minded. You know what I'm saying? I feel I didn't go to school for any of this stuff. So, Greg, what I'll do is I'll send you at some point. I'll have Jill, because my wife is really into this. I'll have her send you some of that stuff over that he's doing, and maybe you could look at it. We can have a longer conversation about it. Because I think you would understand maybe some of that, the terms that are being used that I don't fucking get it. I'm like, oh, I don't know what that means. I don't know breaking shit apart and fucking what you got to. So I'll send it over to you. But I do. The bottom line is I think this guy's onto something. And with that said, there's actually many of the companies, the vehicle manufacturers, Chevy, you know, Ford, whoever it is, that are actually like, hey, we're on board for this shit. Like, we're ready to start doing this, like testing this. And so as soon as you can get Ford and Chevy and Dodge or whoever is on this market ready to do it and they're willing to produce it, because we were talking about a lot of companies are pulling off the electric market right now. I think it was Ford. Yeah. Ford just pulled. They just said, fuck this. We're not doing it.
Yeah, a lot of them just abandoned their
Do you hear
projects.
What happened with that? Uh-huh. So like, I think it was Ford. I could be wrong. I don't hold it to one of them. Actually, the CEO went on Jason was telling me about this. he took the vehicle, like pre-manufacturing, right? Like they didn't, he took it across country from like, you know, California to Michigan or some shit. And he had massive problems with the vehicle over and over. And he just was like, stop. Like, we need to stop this shit. So Ford hits the brakes on a $12 billion in EV spending because EVs are too expensive. Yeah, that was...
Well, and then you have GM. GM pulls planned backing from electric vehicle company. Yep. Yep. You have Mercedes-Benz to pull flagship of this EQS SUV EV out of the U.S. factory.
Whichever one it was, though, the CEO or one of the bosses took it across country. And like I said, it was breaking down. It wasn't getting as much as it was supposed to. And so that's what I was saying earlier, that they're just not there yet. Like, they just don't have it yet. You know, maybe someday that's fixed. But we saw it with the Hummer, dude. Ford CEO had a charging reality check on his electric F-150 Lightning road trip. Yeah. Yeah. And that tells you a lot when you take a vehicle and you're
just like, look at that guy. He's like, I had sex in this car.
Yeah.
I could smell my jizz right now.
And you know that dude would have been more than happy to lie and said it was awesome. But he's just like,
he's probably going, this is a fucking nightmare.
How bad is it when you could probably spend some time to fix it and you just say, no. Like, we got to get out of this shit. Because that's how weak those things are.
I wonder what happened. Was it just the power? Like, it didn't accelerate as fast?
There was issue. Well, we saw that with the Hummer thing that they came out with.
Oh, yeah.
The electric, like, there were really large accounts on YouTube that have millions of followers. And they were test driving it and taking it out. And that fucker, like, one of them broke down in the middle of the road. And then it locks itself up to where you can't even open the battery compartment because it's off. So they were stuck. They're like, we're going to have to drag this fucking 25,000-pound vehicle onto a fucking... And it was a nightmare. Like, the guy's like, I don't know if my tow truck can get this fucking thing up because the wheels wouldn't move.
Oh, yeah.
Could not get it out of park. And they were going to have to drag...
Yeah, can you... That's another thing. Weird. Like, if you have everyone driving these things, can you imagine the tow vehicles you're going to have to create?
Oh, yeah.
That can
well, not only that, but what if they like combust like that one on the freaking highway? You have like how many gallons of water do they have to use to put that thing out?
Yeah, they're doing that too, man. And that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like they're forcing it and they're not ready for it, you know? And maybe in 10 years they'll have better, you know, advancement on it. But right now, like, there's no way I'd be spending money on it. No way.
Yeah. They're forcing a lot of things.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, if you think about like what we've been through for the last 5 years, like, they force a lot of down the woke agenda down everybody's throat. And that's why I think everybody is like being filtered towards Trump. You know what I mean?
There is that. Yeah. Yeah. And actually some of the articles that I brought to have, just, I don't know if we'll have time for all of them or not at this point, but some of them I had brought were kind of in that realm of, you know, where does the government or like even unions, you know, like those kind of things, like where do they stop? From like you being able to get what you want. We've had discussions in the past, and I'll start with the first one here, King Charles, bro. So he came out and said that they had some laws coming through that's basically year by year, it's gonna basically like add a year to how long you could buy cigarettes. That's ultimately
what that's going. Right. Yeah.
So it's a progressive end to cigarettes. And he's saying anybody that is 14 years old right now, by the time they're old enough to buy cigarettes, they will not be legal anymore. So you will never have another person buy cigarettes. If you're 14 and under there, you will never have the opportunity to buy a cigarette. That's their goal. Now, I'm not for cigarettes. Listen, I chew. I've chewed in the past. I'm a nicotine guy. You know that whole thing. I don't think cigarettes are good for you at all, bro.
No.
But, like, do you really, like, should we just ban it? You know what I'm saying? Like,
say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Get all the Masterforce outdoor power equipment you need to maintain your yard at Menards. Own the outdoors with Masterforce 80-volt power equipment, delivering all the power of gas without the maintenance. The entire 80-volt line is powered by brushless motors for ultimate performance and productivity. From lawnmowers to leaf blowers, string trimmers, and more, find everything you need to create the lawn of your dreams with Masterforce power equipment at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Like, isn't there like a risk that you decide that you're going to take with that? You know what I'm saying?
I think Australia is doing the same thing with vaping. Like, they're doing the progressive ban on vaping.
The only issue I've ever had with cigarettes and vaping, if you want to talk about more modern thing, is that I don't feel like any of those have ever told their consumers how bad it is for them. You know what I'm saying? Like, gave them warnings. Because vaping has come out with the whole popcorn lung thing. Where people are doing it, and it's really fucking people up. And I don't think those kids that were taking it or doing it ever knew that that was even a thing to worry about.
Yeah.
So, like, yes, they need to be transparent about the problems with smoking and the problems with vaping. But I also think that, like, alcohol is just as bad for you in a lot of ways. Like, I love a drink here and there, beer, whatever, cocktails. I know the risk, right? You get in a car, you could kill yourself, kill other people. You could have all kinds of diseases from it, from over drinking. You could just die from alcohol poisoning. I get it, but you take those calculated risks. I just don't think it's right for them, the government, to say you're just not allowed to have it. This is what's next.
Like, dude, that's my argument for all drugs.
Yeah.
And I know, like, there's a lot of people that get pushed back on this. They're like, Greg's fucking crazy for this.
Yeah.
But it's like, if you have everything that's legalized and you use your brain like an adult and you say, hey, I should watch what I'm doing here, or maybe I shouldn't take this drug because I could get addicted to it.
Yeah.
Right. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, whose decision is it for somebody to put something in my body or for me to put something in my body? You know what I mean? Like,
I hear you.
I should have that decision.
I think, like, it's the seediness of it is what makes it problematic, right? Like, cigarettes, you can't just go. I mean, I'm sure there's some, but you can't just go on, a kid can't go buy cigarettes at a store, right? Legally. And so, like, there's restrictions, there's age limits, there's, you know, that kind of stuff.
No, I agree.
Meth,
I
think, is not the same.
No, you know? I think that you're not going to allow kids to go fucking buy meth and shit. But any adult should be able to make their own decision.
Well, it's like weed. I mean, there's an argument to whether that's good for states or bad for states, right? The revenue, like, does crime go up when weed is legal in a state? Does it go down? Like, who knows? But, like, yeah, I mean, to Greg's point.
I mean,
listen.
Yeah, that's skewed, though, because you look at the states that have weed legalized and they have these ridiculous fucking laws, dude. Yeah. Like, Gavin Newsom in California, San Francisco. Yeah. I mean, the whole, like, if you steal something like less than $1,000, like, we won't charge you for it or you won't get a felony.
Yeah.
Like, that's just ridiculous.
I'm okay. Like, personally, I've never had an issue with states legalizing weed. I know some people are against it. Some people are totally for it. I've never had an issue for it because even when we had legal weed, right? Like, I didn't smoke more weed. I've never really been like a heavy weed smoker. Yeah. It's not like I was like, finally legal, I'm smoking public all over the place. Like, that didn't happen. Right? And most people don't have that happen, right? It's just the ones that do feel like they can do it safely and not be in trouble for it. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But I don't know the statistics behind, is there more issues with, like, you know, gateway drugs? Is there any more issues with crime going up or down? Like, I don't know how you even gauge that. And to Greg's point, I think they've skewed a lot of that shit in the first place.
Yeah. But
yeah.
I don't know, dude. The whole gateway drug thing, though, it's kind of just like, I feel like that's just a made up fucking thing.
It's definitely not. I firmly believe that that's a gateway drug. I really do. I do.
Like, it's a level thing. Like, I'm going to try marijuana first, and then if this is okay, then I'll try the next one.
I know, but here's the deal. Like, when you, we can agree that, like, marijuana, regardless, like, its benefit. I think there's so many benefits to marijuana, right? Like, hands down.
Oh,
but okay. I think that. But I do think that if you're willing to do that, especially when it was illegal, like, right? If you're willing to take the risk to do marijuana, right? Like mm-hmm. you may be willing to, and I did, right? Like I smoked weed and I was like, it's great. It's fine. It's great. Which then when I was like, well, we got E, I'm going to try it. You know what I mean? Like what's it going to hurt? I've tried Coke. You know what I'm saying? Like I was more willing to do that because I smoked weed and I felt like that was actually a really comfortable thing for me.
Was it because you tried weed or it's just like you're willing to try things?
I feel like
you would have tried those regardless whether you tried weed or not.
Possibly.
That's my point.
Possibly. But there are people that just won't try anything, right? Like my mom's never smoked weed or she has recently, but she never drank a beer. You know what I'm saying? So there are people that just are like, I'm not doing anything. I'm not going to do anything.
Yeah.
But like,
okay, well, then there's people like me who I've smoked weed a shitload, but I was offered Coke maybe 3 or 4 times in my life and I've never done it.
Dude, listen, I'm absolutely not saying that like if you smoke weed, you are going to do all the other drugs. I'm not saying that, but I am saying that you are probably more willing to, if you're willing to smoke a lot of weed, you may or may not be willing to do other things. And I've seen, I grew up with my dad who could not quit trying new things. And it always originated from him selling weed and doing shit with weed, right? And then he was like, hey, man, if you're selling weed, you want to try selling this? And he's like, yeah, you know, whatever. I'm not going to talk about all those details. No. But I'm just saying, like, he was like, yeah, why not? You know what I'm saying? I do feel like there is some things to it. I'm not saying that even 70% of people that smoke weed will probably never do anything else. I'm just saying, like, the ones that do... I feel like it can, like, it depends on your personality. If you have an addictive personality, if you're looser, like you don't really care.
Well, yeah, but if you have an addictive personality, that's where you should just be more mindful of yourself.
Yeah.
And like, it doesn't, not everything has to be a gateway drug. I mean, it's not because you do coke or you do meth, you're automatically gonna be like, man, I don't have meth right now. That means I got to do heroin.
Yeah,
exactly. That,
no,
right.
You're or consciously,
like, hey, I'm doing this.
Consciously making the decision to do other things.
Yeah,
I understand that. Listen, and to be very honest with you, I don't even want to read the comments right now. To be very honest with you, like, I don't have a good argument for it. I just, like, I have what experience that I have with people that I grew up with, my dad's friends and that group of people. And, like, for some reason, I just felt like it never ended with just that. Like, long term. And I'm not saying Greg, because I know you smoked a ton of weed, bro. Like, when we were younger, you were the weed king, man. And, like, that's an exaggeration. But I know that you didn't do that, right? But I also do know that there were people, like, you know, we have a couple friends that, like, smoked a lot of weed, and for whatever reason were, like, because of they were around other people that was doing this, like, they did other shit too, like, they started taking pills.
But the drug they were doing before didn't make them do the new one.
I think it loosens you up to the option of doing something else. That's all it is. It doesn't make you,
but that's decision making going on in your head.
But
that's not the drug. That's not the drug making you, oh, I did this drug, so now I have to do this drug.
I think it's the easiest to get your hands on. And so I feel like, yes, you're 100% right. Like, you ultimately make the decision, but that's like that with anything. Like, that's not even an argument. That's, you ultimately have the decision to do it. I'm just saying that when it was illegal, when we were doing weed before, it was illegal, right? When we were in school, if you got busted by the cops, you were going to get a ticket or get arrested or something, dude. Something was going to happen.
Or you just, you know, you have to drive your car home when you're blitz as fuck, and then you have to smash your pipe in front of your parents. Yes,
there you go.
Sometimes that happens too.
But the point is like, if you're willing to take the gamble knowing that it's illegal, then you're more likely to take a gamble on something else that is illegal as well. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm not saying that everybody does that way. I'm just saying if you're that kind of a person and you're willing to smoke weed, like, you may or may not be willing to, like, well, what's this thing do? You know what I mean? Because I hated Coke. When I tried it the one time, I was like, this is stupid. I fucking hate it. E was amazing, but I knew that there was, like, consequences to that. Like, I actually, somebody that was with us doing it had serious mental problems because of it, man. Like, they were slow. Like, that's all I can say.
So what's your ultimate position on this? Should government bodies ultimately control what substances people endeavor?
I don't know. I'm with Greg, like, to some extent. I like arguing with him about it, but, like, I don't think the government should regulate anything, like, on that kind of aspect. Well, they should. I don't think they should say, like, it's illegal per se. But I also understand that, like, you guys have all seen it, Greg. You can admit this, right? Like, when somebody's on meth, you're not hearing a lot of people argue that meth has benefits to you. You know what I'm saying? Like, it is really just bad. It's really, really bad. It leads you to no good path. So, like, there's a distinction between marijuana and meth. Like, there's no arguing.
Oh, yeah, there's
that.
A big difference.
Well, I mean, to combat that, I mean, ADHD patients use meth all the time. I mean, that's what Ritalin, really? I mean, you could put that in the same kind of freaking.
Is that, that's not really meth.
Though. Methamphetamine, that's more, dude. That's more it's, of a, well, what is, what's the big one that, you know, no, Adderall. Adderall is a methamphetamine. That's meth, bro. Like, people are doing meth. It's the same fucking compound going in your bloodstream.
I see a comment that says, my dad never smoked weed and said that he would do LSD. And that's all I'm trying to get at ultimately, dude, is that like when you say weed, you can easily say like, well, you know what? There's actually new arguments that like marijuana does really great things for your body. Mm-hmm. That it could kill cancer, that it can like, it has benefits and perks to like pain medicine rather than taking these nasty pain medicines, you smoke some weed, right? LSD, like there's more studies recently that shows like that can actually help open your mind. And now we know there's trips and shit, bad trips, but like that could actually open your mind up and it may have some benefits to you.
A lot of people think that it's a mental portal to other universes.
Sure. But the Drano concoction that's made at the fucking trailer park is probably not going to do the same thing.
Well, that's where you just be a little fucking smart.
I know, but again, mushrooms.
But if they were fine. All legal, you wouldn't have to go to this fucking boiler in the trailer park.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the argument for weed too, and that's why I feel a lot safer now smoking weed from something that I will purchase rather than like some dude in the back alley where I'm just like getting something. I have no idea what's in this bag, but I'm going to smoke it.
It's a tough conversation.
Like, I was fucking stupid.
I agree with you. It's a tough conversation. But I just don't know. Like, I don't know. I feel like it's easy to argue the weed case when you know that I think it's been kind of misconstrued over the decades of how bad it is for you. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of benefits to you. Now, obviously, you can do it too much and you can kind of let it control your life. But like, I don't see anything like crystal meth, bro. Like, I just don't see how that's even beneficial to any degree. Like, it's just like it is literally like a hook that is just going to take you to hell and back. You know what I mean? And so
what if you have like narcolepsy, you know? And you just take a bump of meth. Oh, I'm wide awake. Hey, Bob. Yes, I'm very alert for this meeting.
Oh, dude, my grandpa had narcolepsy.
Did he?
Yeah. Oh, it was crazy. And he could do everything.
See, he
was
just needed some meth, dude.
He could do everything he'd do normally while he was sleeping.
Oh, weird. So it's kind of like...
He drove me to school when I was sleeping.
What's that? What's that's that scary. Shit that people take that helps them sleep?
Narcan?
No.
That's the wake
people. Oh, melatonin?
No. It's that medication that helps people sleep, but they sleepwalk with it and do all kinds of shit.
Oh,
like,
fucking
Ambien. Ambien, bro. That's the same shit.
Boy.
Like, I know some people on Ambien that's cooked entire breakfast. So they had no idea what's going on. They cooked everything in their kitchen.
My grandpa.
Dude, that's like an antipsychotic medication, isn't it? Ambien?
No, it's sleeping. It's a sleeping thing, dude. It helps you sleep. And like, it's really, really aggressive.
I remember there was times like my grandpa would be sleeping on the couch. And then he'd be have a show on. He'd be sleeping, and then everyone would be like, "He's fucking sleeping. I'm not watching this anymore."
Yeah.
And they'd change the channel, and he'd go, "Oh, hey, I was fucking watching that." And they'd go, "Oh yeah, you're watching that. What the fuck just happened?" And he'd fucking roll through everything that just happened on the show.
Oh wow. So he has like a
I don't know what was going. I don't know what was going on in my grandpa's head.
He was like,
but he
out
could
of body.
See things when he wasn't seeing things.
I get you.
So well, let's end it on this. At the end of the day. At the end of the day, you, Greg, decide for the future of America. You ban everything that you have banned right now, or do you legalize everything? What's your
legalize vote? It all, baby,
Chris? What do you think?
I mean, hey, we're a nation of law and order, right?
Yeah.
Maintain the law and order, and maintain your fucking responsibility, and like have morals. Yeah. Like bring God back into your house and teach your kids not to do drugs. How about that?
Okay.
Then if they are curious, just say, hey, look. Here's an example of somebody who's gone down the ringer, and show them the repercussions of becoming an addict. Like, people don't see that. I feel like they don't see the bad part of doing these drugs. Like, we feel like we got to hide it all away. Like, oh my God, I don't want my kids to see this person who's shitting themselves on the side of the street here. Like, go up to those people and be like, here, son, this is a person who's on drugs and he's now homeless and sitting in his own filth. I don't know.
Okay. Chris?
I think most things should be legal with regulation. Okay.
I would say I agree with you guys both, but I would actually just say that in order for me to feel good about that, I would want to see like maybe bringing back the mental institutions, maybe bringing back some other shit. Like, that has to be in there too, because you're going to have more people on the streets, in my opinion. I think you'll have more people on the streets.
Dave, have you seen in these, like, blue cities, they have vending machines with Narcan in them?
Oh, for sure, yeah.
And they're, like, they're all sold out now. Yeah. Like, they're just within, like, an hour or 24 hours or something like that.
I just think that if you legalize it, and maybe that's maybe that is the best path for the American way. You know what I'm saying? I get it, but I will also say that there will be severe consequences to it. And, like, so you could say that, hey, that's the American way, man. We have the freedom to do what we want. Yes.
Fuck it, dude. Bring back the Wild West.
Well, I also think that you're going to see this. I think you're going to see homeless and these people being even crazier. And we don't have anywhere for them now. So I would want to have something set up.
But think about the drug problem that we have down at the border and, like, what that issue would solve. Like, you have all of these illegal drugs flying in from who knows where, coming in under different tunnels.
Yeah.
Right? The black market for drugs is huge. Like, you would solve that by legalizing it and just regulating it.
Yeah, but I think that, yeah, I mean, I don't know. There's arguments to be made that, like, they'll create something new that's not, you know, in the market yet that people are craving. I mean, you see those spurs like fentanyl, which is obviously, like, it's not like some drug, but I'm just saying, like, that became increasingly popular, right? Out of nowhere. It's just like fentanyl is the thing, right? And it's super dangerous. And that we weren't having that discussion 5 years ago, right? It was like meth. Heroin, yeah, and all these
but
other
also
things,
but also if things were legal and ran through like regulation and as business legal businesses, I don't think you'd have this issue where fentanyl would be fucking be putting in everything and people would just be doing the same drug they normally did, but now they're dying because somebody laced it with fentanyl.
Yeah,
exactly. I think black market shit.
When you're talking about laced fentanyl stuff, like yes, but like I think people are just taking fentanyl, right? Like,
well, that's their choice.
They are, but like it would go to the same question about like bombs. Like, let's just, if you guys want to talk about, like,
bongs?
Yeah, bombs.
Oh, bombs.
B-O-M-B. Okay, a bomb, right? Yeah. Like, should you have the right to make that?
Like, right to bear arms.
That's what I'm saying.
If the government can have it, we can have it, right?
That's what I'm saying. Like, a lot of people would argue should not have a bomb.
I could make a bomb. Like, no one's going to stop me from going in the garage and making a bomb right now.
I know, but it's illegal.
You'll be on a watch list. That's for sure.
I know. You're not going to do that.
Don't Google that at home, everybody.
I mean, if I somehow came across the technology and capability to make a nuclear bomb, that's a different thing.
Why?
Because that could destroy a fucking country.
But I'm saying, like, there is, I understand that it's drastically different. I'm just making the argument that, like, there are things that we shouldn't, like, you could argue that society shouldn't have, right? Like, there's extreme things that society should not have. And I think the people that argue that it should be illegal are trying to make the case that, like, that's one of those things that, like, society doesn't need it and should not have it. Because it will, like, tear people's lives apart. And it does. I mean, it fucking does. Like, no matter what you guys say about...
What, nuclear bombs?
No, about
drugs. Yeah, I agree.
I mean, you're not going to...
Literally make, like, tears them apart.
I watched Oppenheimer. That Oppenheimer, that shit wouldn't happen in your garage.
Pick a little peat bombs in the garage. Sparkler tearing families
bombs,
apart.
Sparkler bombs.
With the tennis balls?
It'd be like tearing hands up. You know what I mean? Like, you might tear your hand up doing it, but... It's a weird question.
Dude, I dig that conversation. But before we get out of here, I do want to touch on RFK Jr. Can we?
I do. Oh, yes.
Can we watch the video of this? Because this was like the most awkward thing that I've seen in a long time.
You weren't. So I ran across this video earlier today, and I what's weird about this before we run it is that, and you'll hear what he says. He's talking about Epstein Island, bro. I mean, that's the root of it all. He claims that he's been very transparent about this, and maybe he has, but I have never heard it in my life. I've never heard.
Well, so to be clear, it's about Epstein's plane. He said that he's been on Epstein's plane twice, and he came out saying that, you know, this is, you know, I've come out about this and all that stuff. But the strangest and most peculiar part for me,
the wife,
was that his wife has a history with Ghislaine Maxwell.
Yeah,
and I'm like, that's what?
Weird. I told that to Chris, and he's like, what? And I'm like, yeah, that caught me off guard a little bit.
Yeah,
the whole thing did. The whole fucking thing did, actually. Because like, I'm just like, yes, thank you for correcting me. It was not to the island, supposedly. But we've all said this, like, who's on the plane? We're not saying, like, who's on the island. We're talking about who fucking got on that fucking plane and, you know, partook. We saw the logs. So he's one of them.
Well, yeah.
Admittedly.
Yeah.
So here's
the argument is like things can happen on the plane out of the public view, right? Like it's a private plane. You got things happening on there. There's that Quentin Tarantino photo with like a kid foot. Like it's just, who knows if that's real or not.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying like things can happen on that plane and it doesn't necessarily have to be legal, and it's not going to get captured anywhere.
And we have made the case before that just because you were on the plane does not necessarily mean that you saw anything. Like, we did,
absolutely,
we did have that case. Like, the plane was used. It is not 100% admission of guilt to something illegal, but it's also like you should be keeping your eye on this shit. So let's go ahead and play this, man.
Yeah.
Is it Jesse Waters, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Never on Jeffrey Epstein's jet, were you?
I was on Jeffrey Epstein's jet two times. I was on it in 1993, and I was on it in, and I went to Florida with my wife and two children to visit my mom over Easter. My wife had some kind of relationship with Glenn Maxwell, and they offered us a ride to Palm Beach, so I went there.
I like how Jesse Waters, as soon as he
said,
as soon as he said my wife had something to do with Jillian Maxwell, he's like, hmm?
He's like, what?
Was that not said? We'll finish it up in a second here, but was that not like said just in a random thing? Like, my wife had some kind of relationship with Jillian Maxwell. Like,
yeah,
you don't know what the relationship was. You didn't say like they had a business relationship.
Exactly.
They actually knew each other previously and had known each other, and that's why we were on the plane. And why are you taking their plane just to Florida to see grandparents? Like, it's a weird.
Exactly. Like, right? Over like Easter.
Like
it's Easter Sunday.
You're a fucking Kennedy, my friend. Like, you don't you have access to other planes. Come on, dude.
That's what I'm saying,
Come on. Okay, let's finish this sucker up. He overexplains, by the way.
They offered us a ride to Palm Beach, so I went then, and then on another occasion, I flew again with my family, with, I think, four of my children, and Mary, my wife, to Rapid City, South Dakota, to go fossil hunting for a weekend, and... But otherwise, I was never on his jet alone. I've been very open about this from the beginning. This was in 93, so it was 30 years ago. It was before anybody knew about Jeffrey Epstein's, his nefarious issues. And I agree with you that all of this information should be released. And we should get real answers on what happened to Jeffrey Epstein. And any of the high-level political people that he was involved with, all of that.
Dude, fossil hunting? What? Who is this guy? Crocodile Dundee? We're going to look for some fossils down in South Dakota.
You know what's on the second time he goes, I went with my four kids, and my wife.
Yeah, what's her name, Mary?
Listen, man. First of all, the comments right off the bat, the most honest guy in Washington, one says he's giving too much information, which is a huge red flag, over-explaining the situation. Listen, maybe he's being honest, but...
Like, you're explaining almost in more detail because you have to cover your ass. I mean, you kind of do, because you're running for office right now, and you say this has all been talked about, but... Like we said before the show, we never heard any of the fucking
Greg, have you heard this before?
So no, but like some reason that people give all of the detail is they go, oh, the more detail, the more believable the story is, right? They go, oh, okay, so he's adding this much detail. That means he remembers all this thing. So this must be true, right?
Yeah.
But no, I've never heard this crap.
Well, so my thing is like, it sounds like the kind of, because I love like the First 48, you know, like I love those shows where they're like talking to the criminals and they're like, where were you Saturday? He's like, right. So I was at my grandma's house, man. Like, we were just hanging out. And that's what he says. Like, we just took a trip to Florida to visit grandparents.
Yeah.
Okay. That's
right. Oh,
yeah, you're usually pretty, like, this is what we did and where we went. You don't go, we went here, we took the plane, then we went a second time to do this, and we went fossil hunting.
In 93, I went fossil hunting with their plane. Like, you didn't take a normal plane. Like, you just didn't, like, hey, we're going to go to North Dakota. We're going to go to fucking Michigan. Like, just take a fucking jet. And also, like, again, you're a Kennedy. Like, I have a hard time believing they don't have jets, bro. Like,
so that's the thing, dude, is I feel like they went on his plane because of the relationship with Ghislaine Maxwell and his wife. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's why they chose that plane.
I like how he didn't go into any more detail about that. Like, how do you not know?
The clip ended. So we don't know the context of the interview after that. Maybe Waters asked him. followed up about that. You know,
why would you not just, I just feel like, why would you not say that in the beginning? You know, they worked in the same company together. They knew each other for years. And
yes, and have that be the foundation of why you're on these plane rides.
Because you don't have to say anymore. You just be like, hey, man, we had this relationship. We didn't know what was going on, but they had worked together and we trusted them at the time. And we used their plane for multiple. They offered their plane. Like, that's all you have to say.
Yeah. Exactly.
It gets overly detailed and it's weird. It's also like just fossil. I would love, I'd love to hear any other in the history, whether it's court or anything in front of Congress, that somebody said they went fossil hunting as a reason why they were in a certain location. Because unless it's Jurassic Park, that's not fucking happening.
That's why, what's his name? Those kids and where he murdered his girlfriend or whatever. What are they called? That guy that was on the run they were looking for forever.
I don't remember.
Oh, Brian Laundry?
Yeah, that's what they were doing too.
Fossil hunting?
They were fossil hunting.
So is that the new code word? Oh my God,
so that's a code word.
No, they weren't really, but...
God.
Okay. Well, so yeah, that whole thing. When I saw that, I'm like, wow, this guy is in some deep trouble and he's going to have to explain this further down the road.
I've told you from the beginning of this thing that like there's something about him. Like, I think he says some really great things. I think he's on par with some of the conversations we've had about like the vaccine, especially there's some stuff that I'm like, yeah, he knows what he's talking about and he sounds smart. But there is always been something for me that I look at him and I just, there's something about him that I just don't feel right about. I don't know what it is.
It's the Kennedy name, bro. He's part of that.
No,
it's not,
because like, I feel like, no, I don't know. Like JFK to me, like if he was alive today, like I think he'd probably, I don't know. I'm sure there's more people have dug deeper, but I don't think JFK was a bad dude in my opinion. Right.
Meg Buchanan in the chat says, I go fossil hunting every summer. I don't take a pedo's plane to get there.
Yeah. Right. It's a weird.
See, like,
well, that's the whole, in his defense, like, he said that was before anybody knew what was going on.
Right. Yeah, well, so you know what this means, you guys. We need to dig on Ghislaine Maxwell and his wife.
Oh, I thought you were going to say for fossils. I was going to say, like, oh,
we need yes. We got to dig up some fossils.
Yeah. Digging for fossils on this one. God. I feel like there's more to that story. And I doubt he'll ever go any farther than that. You know what I'm saying? And why would you? He'd rather lose the race and not say anything than to say something that would incriminate him or his wife.
Oh, yeah.
Like, well, I sure hope somebody interviews him and asks him about that, because he goes on a lot of podcasts. Yeah, he goes on like some very, you know, just loose podcasts where they will talk for hours and just be like, hey, so what did you mean about this relationship between your wife and Ghislaine Maxwell? Like, what is this relationship about?
They need to get her, because he's a smart man. I don't know if she's smart. I don't know what she does. I don't even know who his wife is, but I'm just saying.
She's that actress. She was on Curb Your Enthusiasm. She was the wife on Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Don't even know.
Cheryl. What the fuck's her name?
Regardless, interview her and let her try to explain it. Because I feel like he's smart enough to like wiggle around it. And I want to know what relationship did you, like, why was that so subtly said? They had some kind of business dealing, or they have some kind of relationship. This is a weird way.
Was this his wife before Cheryl Hines? Because Cheryl Hines is the actress that I'm talking about.
I don't even know who that is, to be honest with you.
So Mary was always with the Kennedys, is becoming a Kennedy. That would happen later in 1993, to be exact. So in 1993, he married Mary. So that's who Mary Richardson Kennedy.
Man, there's something about Mary.
And she died.
She died?
Or something. She had serious mental health challenges. I'm looking here. Oh, they filed for divorce in 2010, but according to an affidavit obtained by Newsweek, his marriage by Mary was over long before that.
So it was the wife that died?
I don't know if she died. Let me just be clear here. Thought she did, but oh yes. Ooh. Hold on.
What accent did she get into? So she knew too much, dude. She knew too much.
I'm gonna look this up here. Mary Richardson Kennedy. I'm gonna see if this comes up. If she alive?
Why didn't he say my wife at the time?
Yeah.
Like why wouldn't you say that? Like my wife at the time was what had a relationship with.
Yeah, dude. She died. 2012, May 16th, 2012.
From what?
So, I mean, like, was she off because, like, was she new with Ghislaine? I don't know. I'm just reaching right there, but dango, son. You know, it's like, hey, you're married to a fucking Kennedy. What are you doing? You're getting your hands dirty with this bitch? Like, we can't have
Kennedy's body was dug up and moved away from the family plot.
What?
Exhumed last week and moved from its original spot among the Kennedy clan. They moved it away from the Kennedys.
When was this supposed to be?
This was in 2012.
See? Like 2020. That's when she died.
Scroll down real quick. Real quick. I know we're going to end here soon, but the body of late Mary Richardson Kennedy, the estranged wife of Robert F. Kennedy Jr., was exhumed last week and moved from its original spot among the Kennedy clan. The coffin contained her remains, was transferred 700 feet away and reburied in an empty part of St. Francis Xavier Cemetery in Centerville, Massachusetts. No marker currently identifies her gravesite.
Whoa! See? And dude, whoa, guess how she died. Guess how she died.
Why would you not put a tombstone or something? Like a head, like a, some kind of, that's weird.
It's disrespectful, right? And guess how she died?
How?
Suicide by hanging.
Oh my gosh, dude.
So, I mean, what are the odds? We know some people that have kind of gone that way with weird. A shotgun chest did or shotgun blast.
I don't remember all the details real quick. I know we're getting off, but did something in 2012, what was happening to Epstein? Was he on trial or anything in 2012?
I want to say yes.
Because I'm curious if there was something released behind the scenes that indicted her for something and she was... Because I'm thinking like she suicide 2012, Epstein, like what happened with that situation, dude?
He faced criminal charges in 2006.
The Biden cabinet nominees meeting with Epstein in 2012 spanned for 90 minutes. Was there a trial in 2012?
No, that was in 2006. Where it was like Alex Acosta or somebody got him off. 2008, 2009, he was released from jail for the next decade. Multiple women who say they were victims of Epstein.
Right here, blah, blah, 2009. Blah. So, yeah. In 2009, he was released from jail.
That's what I just said.
Okay, yeah. I'm on a timeline. But do you think there's a chance that, like, he was released from jail, but he gave up some information or something? Because we had talked about that before.
I feel like Kennedy is one of those guys that can't get a dirty trail on him. Right? Because he has a lineage. He has that legacy. Yes. To uphold. And so if you got that dirty trail and something happened between Ghislaine and Mary, then they got to kind of close that loop.
I had
loop.
No idea that they exhumed her coffin and her body weird. And moved her 700 feet away from the Kennedys. I know it's not far, but they didn't even put a marker on her. That to me says that the Kennedys knew something that she did.
Get her
did,
the fuck away from us.
And they don't want her representing that family's name at all.
Right?
And so, yes. And then when you tie it in with the whole conversation that he's having where my wife had some...
Now he's bringing it to the public attention. Like, hey, guys, go dude, dig on this.
That doesn't fucking add up. That would make a terrible cake. That's not a good recipe. You know what I'm saying? It's not a good recipe.
It's not a good recipe. Dude, it's a recipe for disaster, that's for sure.
Dude, let's take this into the next episode. You know what I'm saying? No, I actually am interested in this. Yeah. I really am interested in this because...
That kind of...
He's running for president, guys.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not even saying that he was... If there was anything weird that he was even involved, the fact that she was exhumed and moved, and then he's like, my wife was... involved with Ghislaine Maxwell, he just mentioned that offhand,
right? Oh, you think he did it on purpose? Like, maybe, he wants people to dig on it?
Like, hey, go look at this.
He's hiding something, man.
Or he's hiding something.
Yes. Dude, those fossils are full of some kind of gold.
Yeah, we gotta go dig for some
little
fossils.
Nugget open, you know what I'm saying? All right, dudes, that was a fun episode, man. I appreciate you guys, and hey, glad to be back on the running the shows, dude.
Yeah,
Greg, cheers everybody. To you. Cheers to you.
Cheers,
Chris.
Everybody.
Cheers, everybody in the audience, man. Love you all. Take care, man.
Till the next episode. Bye.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable.
Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.